This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Monday, March 31st. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. We are in the last day of March, March 31st. The month of champions is over. My birthday month is about to be over, so I'm pretty, you know, I'm feeling pretty upset that the glorious month of March is about to be past us. With that means the final week and a half of the regular season for the Sixers. T-minus 7 games we're at. That's the countdown. 7 games left in the regular season. 3 away games, 4 home games. As the Sixers up and down roller coaster of a 2024-2025 season is about to be docked and put in for maintenance in the offseason, if we're really being honest. So appreciate you starting your day and your week with me. Your man James Jackson is Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter. You don't have any more much more opportunity left to do that during the regular season, right? At JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast. We have been here since September, people. Since September, since October. It was hopeful back then. It got realistic over time. It's a little bit pessimistic right now. But we've been here through every step of the way. So make sure you're staying locked with us through the end of the regular season, because things can still happen. Stuff can still shake. We're still going through Sixers basketball for the time being. So you know how we do with the daily pods at the beginning of the week. So I will go over the agenda first. I will set the schedule, set the week for the Sixers and look at the schedule. Then I will get scores, teams around the league we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, especially with the end of the regular season and the Sixers now not jockeying for playoff position or play-in position, but draft lottery position is now of the utmost importance. I will go through an injury update, some news, and on the other side of the break, I will get into some analysis. The Sixers did drop one last night to the Toronto Raptors at home, an important loss, one of the more important losses of the season. And they did that last night against the Toronto Raptors. I will break that down, 3 takeaways from that loss last night. Let's get to the schedule. We'll set the week two for the Sixers. Like I said, only 7 games left, 4 home games, 3 away games. One of those away games start tomorrow night as they go to the Garden to take on the New York Knicks for the final time this season at 7:30. They'll have a couple days off, come back home and play the Milwaukee Bucks on the 3rd. Doc Rivers again is returned to the Wells Fargo Center, which we all, you know, can't wait for, anticipating. Thursday the 3rd, that's at 7 p.m. They then play on Saturday at home again against Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were involved in one of the NBA's more, aggressive nights around the league, like 3 different fights last night, of course, Dylan Brooks got in one, but the Wolves and Pistons were involved in quite a scuffle that saw, I mean, pretty much everyone get eliminated from the ballgame, get ejected from the ballgame. So many people, but Anthony Edwards was not one of them. But anyway, the Wolves come on Saturday. So tomorrow, Thursday, and Saturday, three games this week, knock out about half of the regular season games left for the Sixers. And they, you know, we'll see, you know, where we are at the end of these are three playoff teams, three tough teams. Should be three losses for the Sixers, an opportunity to really cement themselves further in that draft lottery position. Cannot believe that's the language we're using at this time of the year for the Sixers, but it's where we are. Tomorrow, Thursday, Saturday, that is the Sixers' upcoming schedule. Let's take a look. Scores around the league, teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. Notice how we were talking about playoff and play-in teams for a lot of the year. Now our focus has shifted to teams who occupy the bottom of the league standings with the Sixers. We can knock out 2-1 stone, though, as the Portland Trailblazers went to the New York Knicks and played the Knicks in the Garden, lost, obviously. The Knicks took care of business, 110-93 at home. OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges were the highlight of this one. They combined for about 56 points in the win last night. Still no Jalen Brunson, and there still is a large, beaming point of concern for the New York Knicks. Even with this win, with no Jalen Brunson, their playoff hopes are kind of looking slimmer and slimmer. And then you're getting outputs like this from Karl-Anthony Towns, 10 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 4-13 from the field. In 32 minutes against the Portland Trailblazers. Not great. 28 apiece, though, from Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, which is what they needed. 14-9-8 for Josh Hart. They did get cut off the bench for Precious Achiuwa and Landry Shamet, but I'm not sure that this is the kind of output the Knicks want as they go into the playoffs. You have everybody in Knicks camp kind of concerned. 33 from Denny Avdija led the Portland Trailblazers. 23-3-2 from Shaedon Sharpe. They got 15 from Anfernee Simons and 10 from Tumani Kamara, but not much else. The only person to score off the bench was Duop Reith. 4 points off the bench. Everybody else failed to register, right? Duop Reith hit 2 shots, 0-2 from Matisse Thybulle, 0-6 from Delano Banton, and 0-1 from Justin Manaya. Other than that, literally nobody else scored off the bench for the Trailblazers. Was not that hard for the Knicks to get a win. Sorry, I have to update you about this game, but the Pelicans did get a win against the Hornets in New Orleans, 98-94. We were probably the only ones who are worried about this game. I'm so sorry, but they are both right where the Sixers are, especially the Pelicans. So it is important for us to know that the Pelicans did get a win. The highest scoring output was 17 points from Keon Brooks Jr. off the bench. I don't think either team really wanted to win this game. They got 13 from Kelly Olynyk, 12 from GTA Jose Alvarado in the starting lineup, and 16 from Antonio Reeves. But it was enough to get a win. The Hornets did not get a loss. Hornets have just shut down their all-star LaMelo Ball for the rest of the season as they look to stockpile as many losses as possible to get themselves in the best possible draft position as well. So with no LaMelo Ball for the first game, Miles Bridges was the leading scorer, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. They got 13 from Yusuf Nurkic in the starting lineup, 19 from Nick Smith Jr. off the bench. But those are the only double-digit outputs for the Hornets. They shoot just 24% from 3, 35% from the field. The Pelicans shoot just 29% from 3, 41% from the field. That's enough to beat the Hornets nowadays, 98-94 in New Orleans. And then the San Antonio Spurs lose to the Golden State Warriors, who put up 148 and moved to what, 15-2 with both Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler in the lineup. It looks like when those two are in the lineup, this team is as good as any team in the National Basketball Association. They did get to play a San Antonio Spurs team with no De'Aaron Fox and no Victor Wembanyama, who are shut down for the rest of the season just a little bit ago. But the Spurs still did battle. They still got my man Chris Paul out there playing for some reason, but he's still out there trying to keep the ship afloat. All 5 starters for the Warriors in double figures, led by Brandon Podziemski, of all people, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. They got 14, 6-3 from Steph Curry. 13-8-3 from Jimmy Butler. They got 19 off the bench from Buddy Hield as well, who came off shooting. Pretty much everybody got in, especially some garbage time minutes for the Golden State Warriors. John Kuminga played only 7 minutes. Hopefully he didn't have to leave with any injury. Hopefully he is okay. But people will look at Steph Curry's output, right? Jimmy Butler's output, be a little concerned. Might be these two are on cruise control until the playoffs start, right? They're worried about getting wins first and foremost. Absolutely. They are not worried about extending all of their energy to get these wins nowadays. So they are on cruise control until the playoffs start. And then we'll see, hopefully Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler kick it into high gear as they start the postseason. Keldon Johnson was leading scorer for the Spurs. He had 19 off the bench. Other than that, Devin Vassell, 12 in the starting lineup, 11 from Julian Champagne off the bench, 2 as well, 13 from Malachi Branham. So 148-106, the Spurs lose to the Golden State Warriors. Let's take a look at the full Eastern Conference standings as well as the bottom of the league standings. We can take a look and see where the Sixers sit in both of those regards. It was going to be my news, but I guess I'll just wait or just tell you it now, since it has to do with the bottom of the Eastern Conference, their standings. The Sixers 13th in the Eastern Conference. But if you will notice, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings, there is an E-dash-dash next to the Sixers' name now. They've been eliminated officially from 2025 playoff contention this season with their loss over this past weekend. With their loss to the Raptors on Saturday, the Sixers were eliminated from playoff contention. So we no longer have to kind of act like that is, a possibility. We no longer have to act like that's something that could happen for the Sixers. We no longer have to keep up the illusion and mirage that there are some people who could come back and play this season to help the Sixers go towards that goal. It's all over, right? We can now be realistic of where the Sixers sit this season and what our focus and mentality should be, and that is keeping that first round draft pick that they have this summer. So still in 13th, the Brooklyn Nets are a game up in 12th in Eastern Conference standings, but with no playoffs on the horizon, that is where the Sixers sit now for the rest of the remaining 7 games of this season. 5 out of the Toronto Raptors for the 11th seed, but that no longer really matters. As we take a look at the bottom of the league standings, the Sixers are now a full game separated from the Brooklyn Nets for that bottom 5 record in the NBA, the 5th spot in the NBA draft order right now, right? Losers of the last 8, they have a 42% chance of making it into the top 4 of the NBA draft lottery. We know there is still a chance the Sixers get to the 7th spot in the draft lottery. That is not out of the realm of possibility. It's not mathematically impossible. If they do that, there's a 65% chance that they lose their pick in the draft lottery to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But as of right now, they're 5th, and if the lottery would shake out this way, they would keep their pick. And now we're looking at someone like an Ace Bailey, a Malawach out of Duke, a Derek Queen out of Maryland, Trey Johnson out of Texas. A lot of people who can be on the Sixers' radar now that they are in the 5th spot out of playoff contention officially. So no major injuries, no injuries at all really to update. Tyrese Maxey could return by the end of the season. I'm not sure if this was all just smoking mirrors. Nick Nurse did say over the weekend that they haven't ruled out the possibility of Tyrese Maxey returning. For then it was the final 8 games of the season. It's now the final 7 games of the season. And I'm sure part of it is saying that so that the league, doesn't go poking around and, kind of stays out of their kitchen that they've been in a lot this season. But Nick Nurse did say there's a chance that they bring Tyrese Maxey back at some point before the end of the season just to make sure he's good and healthy and, going into the offseason on some kind of a positive note. Been talking to a lot of beat reporters, a lot of people and reporters who cover the Sixers. We are all in agreement that that makes zero sense. Just hold him out for the last 7 games. No one, and I mean no one, is sitting here clamoring for Tyrese Maxey to get back out there and get some minutes, right? We all understand what's going on. We all know what's going on. I want him just rested and healthy. If he don't even come to the arena for the games, I'm not even too bent out of shape. So that's where I stand. Let's see where the chips fall. Let's see what happens. I'm about to take a break. On the other side of the break, the Sixers did play last night. They did lose to the Toronto Raptors on Sunday. And I will tell you how it happened. A very important loss to the Toronto Raptors, I should add. And I'll be back to break it all down. Stay tuned.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, y'all. Appreciate you starting your day and your week with me. By the way, happy home opening day to all my Phillies fans out there. Phillies come back home today and will start their home opener. We'll take on the Colorado Rockies today. First game of a three-game home series for the Phillies. Hopefully they get good weather and it doesn't rain out. I know a lot of people are planning on a rainstorm today. They do have an open day tomorrow, so they could push it till tomorrow. But either way, Sixers season is about to end. Philly season just starting. But either way, I appreciate you starting your day and your week with me, James Jackson. It's a clap your hands morning Sixers update, not a Phillies morning update. So make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself at clap your hands pod. For the podcast, Sixers did drop one at home to the Toronto Raptors in a very important loss last night at the Wells Fargo Center. Time to give my three takeaways as to what I saw last night in that loss. It was a work on your game night. That's what I call it, right? So many starters sitting out. Those who were playing last night, just work on your game, right? You know, work on things that you want to get better at, want to improve on, you know, get to your spots on the floor. Make sure you're doing that. And of all the people last night who were in, who should be working on their game and should lead the league or lead the game in scoring, that's RJ Barrett. One of the only, like, real solid starters, players in the league who was playing last night for either team. 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And he clearly looked like, you know, he didn't look like the best player on the floor, but he looked like the only player who like has a good grip of where they are in the NBA. The only player, put it this way, the only player out there who didn't look like he was playing for something else, right? Didn't look like he was trying to impress or, played like with the ultimate security last night. The game was really easy for RJ Barrett, right? He shot 12 of 22 from the field, 4-7 from three. It was a plus 19 in the box score, led the entire game in plus minus, right? And like if you're RJ Barrett and you're playing, you know, Justin Edwards, no offense, Jared Butler, Lonnie Walker and company, you shouldn't make too many mistakes when you're out there on the floor, right? He had nearly a 20-point first half, and then it seemed to be on cruise control for a lot. There was just a point where he was just hitting shots. I think especially at the end of the second half, he went on a mini, you know, like 5-6-7-0 run by himself, got to the free throw line, hit a three. Like he was all over the court doing a bunch of things. It was really on the offensive end, but you know, RJ Barrett was obviously the outlier of last night's game. I wonder if he was even in there from his coaching staff as a, hey, here's what we want you to work on for tonight. Hey, here's what we want you to get better at. We're probably not going to make the playoffs then as the Raptors. The Sixers are not making the playoffs. There's no one in this game that's really going to try and like stop you from really doing what you want to do, right? So that was my first takeaway last night is I'm glad RJ Barrett did what he was supposed to do. Everyone in Toronto last night, if RJ Barrett has a bad game, that is concerning because he's the only player out last night that if everyone was healthy, would probably still be playing the minutes that he was playing, him and Scotty Barnes. But Scotty Barnes wasn't worried about doing anything last night. 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists for him. But second person I'm looking for is Jalen Hood-Schifino coming off the bench, giving 18 for the Sixers. I know RJ Barrett I just said was the only person that everyone was healthy would be playing the minutes he was playing. And while Jalen Lucifino certainly wouldn't see 27 minutes if, you know, full healthy rosters, he was one of the only people, especially on the Sixers, that if circumstances were different and we still had a roster, could find himself playing in a similar role, not the amount of minutes, but similar role if, you know, he played well enough to get himself to this role with the Sixers or somebody else by the end of the season. And that's coming off the bench, giving spot minutes and being ready to contribute, right? It's much easier when you're coming off the bench, right? And who you have to go against is Jamison Battle and Cole Swider and, you know, AJ Lawson, OG Abaji and company. But even still, you come off the bench, give 18 points, shoot 6 of 8 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, and hit all 5 of your free throws. You also put in 5 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal and a block as well, right? The only Sixer who was a positive in the plus-minus in the box score was Jalen Hood-Schifino at plus 5. That's significant, right? Every starter was double-digit minus in the box score, and he was a plus 5. Right. So he's the only person that was on the floor. More positive stats went in than negative stats. I'm not the only person that's going to notice something like that. Right. Will it play him into a bigger role for a team after one game? No. Will it make him get re-signed by the Sixers next year? No. Most likely, Jalen Hood-Schifino is still on the path of going back to the G League next season. Right. He probably will be on a summer league roster in the summertime. But when you get an opportunity, right, as Jalen Hood-Schifino is getting with the Sixers, and we'll have more by the end of this, you know, 7 games at the end of the regular season, this is how you do it. It's how you take advantage of you being in a situation and, you know, have some good positive output. So I noticed Jalen Hood-Schifino, right, JHS, can we call him? Because that's a lot to say every single time, but I noticed a good game he had off the bench, and hopefully other people notice as well. Final takeaway of last night, and I talked to my guy Kai Carlin about this too, of Sixers Wire, and we noticed that, you know, there's a lot of people who weren't really like expending and playing hard, and, you know, we're looking at a lot of guys who kind of on auditions, either for the Sixers or for other teams, right? Even on the Raptors, this is an opportunity to get minutes that you wouldn't have seen in a normal circumstance in the season. And I think this is an opportunity to turn some heads, open some eyebrows. And we're in a lot of people playing that hard last night. And we came to the realization that if you play too hard, especially if you're in a Sixers uniform, and maybe even the Raptors too, you might play yourself out of the ball game. Right? Like, Sixers are, for what it's worth, are in an opportunity, are in a stance where losing ball games is more advantageous for them than winning. We saw Quentin Grimes get clipped against the Nets last week. He's playing so well, he didn't get to see the floor for the last 4 minutes of the ball game, so they could lose the game. At that point, the most important loss of the season, maybe. So that's tough. That's tough as an observer. It's tough as a reporter. And I'm sure it's more tough as a player, especially these players who I need to play well. I'm playing for my professional career. I'm playing for an opportunity. I'm playing so people will notice me. And it's tough when Nick Nurse isn't even standing for a majority of the game, right? Like, I'm sure his job is to not make this look ugly, keep butts in the seats, but at the end of the day, we know what the goal is, right? We know what the job is. And if I'm a professional basketball player, how do you play like that? I can't even play like that at pickup basketball. Right? Like, again, I don't know how to not try to win no matter where I am. So that is a way that I do sympathize, can't empathize, but do sympathize with some of the players who are on the court. Those are my 3 takeaways from last night. RJ Barrett, you better have 31 in this type of game. Jalen Hood-Schifino, very good, very productive off the bench. I'm sure I'm not the only one who noticed that. And how do the players play? Because I noticed last night that foot comes off the gas pedal sometimes, and, you know, in effort to stay in the ball game and stay on the floor. Sixers have an off day today. I will let you know tomorrow if any news comes down the pipeline, but they will travel up I-95 an hour and a half to New York City and play the Knicks in the Garden tomorrow night. I will be back tomorrow morning to preview that game. But until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.